We're live?
We're live. Tom's dabbing. You gotta dab. You gotta dab. You ever dabbed?
You know, dabbing is so 2016, and I consider myself much more nowtro than retro, so I won't dab. But I'm gonna invent something right now, and I'm gonna call it the dib. And that's where you try to wipe snot out your nose, but you do it like this. Yes. And it leaves a permanent crease. And also a trail of mucus on your hand. That's called a dib, and you're welcome, world. What's up, Z-Pack? It's your boy, ZDogMD. I'm going to pull up your comments here. We are live and direct. Let's see if we have sound. Do we have sound?
I'm assuming we do.
Yeah? Yeah, we have sound.
We do.
Sweet. So we have a microphone that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't because we're a professional media organization.
That's here, right, people. So today we're going to talk about the dude who tattooed do not resuscitate on himself.
Yep.
And get your comments on it.
And they did not respect the do not resuscitate initially. And the question is, why get a damn tattoo if no one's going to listen to you?
Now, this is sort of like an urban myth that I hear people like do the do not resuscitate tattoo. I've heard this like multiple times.
I know a lot of healthcare people who put DNR across their chest,
really?
On a wrist, somewhere where you'll see it. That's why I put mine, you know.
On the taint?
It's on Oh, speaking of inappropriate, today's show is co-sponsored by 23andMe, by the way. 23andMe, you guys have noticed, have supported us for a few shows, and the reason we work with them is that we're big believers in direct-to-consumer genetic testing. When you partner with physician, nurse practitioner, or PA to sit through and interpret results with patients, and we, all three of us, got our own genetic testing done. You saw us spit in the cup in our Christmas suits. And we got results back. And Logie.
You click on his email.
I'll
do it.
Logan got his email.
Yeah.
And then you go through. He signs
in.
Don't
look at my email.
With the secret credentials that 400 people just saw. There it is.
Still alone.
Not still loading.
We have great Wi-Fi. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
I got celiac disease. 23andMe.com.
Oh, you still got to sign. Yeah. You got celiac? No, you don't.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
You don't. You got a bunch of different reports on both health characteristics and ancestry. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we have to say, we're not going to go through the results right now, but we have to say this. This is not designed, this test through 23andMe is not designed to diagnose disease or tell you you have 100% risk of whatever. It is there to give you certain information that you can then use with your provider to actually modify your behavior, work on diet, exercise, things like that. So it's not diagnostic. It will never tell you you have a 100% risk of whatever, because I think that was the early concerns with direct consumer genetic testing, is people were freaking out like, oh my God, am I going to get Alzheimer's disease? Am I going to get whatever? That's not the point of this. Now, the point of this is to learn a lot of information about your genetic information and your ancestry that can be useful on many levels. One is, you might think about, well, is there something that a trait or a risk that I might pass on to my children?
Right.
And then you might think, okay, well, let's think about that. You might think, oh, first of all, this is just fun, like socially, finding out Tom is 173% white.
That's right. Yeah.
Is hilarious to me. and we're going to talk about our results on a dedicated show in the near future. The other things you might want to do is, you might want to understand better how can you work on yourself to sort of tailor how you're going to prevent disease and live your life in a way that maximizes your enjoyment of life. So having this information, I think, is important. Consumers are doing it. And so we as healthcare providers need to understand it better, which is why 23andMe has, again, extended the number of coupon codes for 50% off the health and ancestry that they're offering to ZPAC members. Frontline patient-facing care providers like doctors, PAs, nurse practitioners, students. And the reason in the beginning, and we get a lot of complaints, wait a minute, we're EMS, why don't we get a code? We're, data entry, why don't we get a code? Well, you did. We had 3,000 codes in the first part of this campaign that we gave out for all y'all. So you snooze, you lose. Now we're trying to focus down on people who, by doing the test themselves, can understand how to talk to their own patients about their patients' results and their tests without freaking out. Because in Health 2.0, we don't have a lot of time to connect with our patients. So the more information we have about the information our patients have, the better armed we are to have good conversations about actually preventing and understanding disease in our patients. And understanding how ancestry can affect
that. Yeah, totally.
Right? Because if you find out, like Tom finds out he's 50% African American, he's going to start questioning his maternity.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say paternity.
And I'm going to buy more Jordans because right now I only have like 3 pairs. gonna,
you're gonna get
rookie,
like seven per.
Those are rookie numbers.
They are rookie numbers. So it's the now. And the Jordan industry is very deeply invested in genetic testing for this exact reason. So that being said, thanks to those guys.
Let's get into it. So
yep.
Greg says, what happens when there's been a substantial life circumstance change since the tattoo, aka like cancer and remission, etc. I can't see it being wise to honor. Well, in my opinion, as a non-medical professional, I think it's the onus is on you to tattoo JK right under it. You know what I mean? When your circumstances change, you just JK. And then if cancer goes back, cross out the JK and be like, no, really, for real, do not resuscitate.
You know, for once, Tom is being pragmatic instead of just absolutely absurd in a way that, you know, it's totally impractical information. I mean, this is simple pragmatic. By the way, I'm going to put a link to the New England Journal of Medicine editorial that we're talking about in the comments right now. And Tom can – I don't know that it needs to be pinned, but Tom can pin it. Let me put it in here. Bam. All right. So the article went as such. And this – let me show Logan – well, once I'll show you what sort of caused all this, and it's going to be our thumbnail for this video. So to the editor, we present a case – and this was University of Miami, okay, in Florida. Not Miami, Nevada, which is a whole nother
– no, yeah. Dade County, son.
That's right. Don't make me go sunny – Crockett and Tubbs on you.
That's a terrible reference. Terrible.
I'm playing Miami Nice. My dad was a big fan of Miami Vice, by the way. He would always be like, hey, you know, we got to get home quickly because Miami Vice is on. I'm like, Miami Vice? He's like, that's what I said, Miami Vice. So we present the case of a person whose presumed code status preference led him to tattoo "Do not resuscitate" on his chest. By the way, that's the greatest euphemism of all time. His presumed code status preference. It's like The dude went to a tattoo artist and said, bro, I never want to be coded. Tattoo "Do not resuscitate" across my chest. And it looks like this. That's pretty ambiguous to me, Logan. What do you think? What do you think he meant when he did that?
I would say it's fairly non-ambiguous, as in he underlined not.
He underlined not. He
underlined not.
Just in
and
case.
It's all caps.
He's effectively shouting. He's shouting. He's like my dad in every email my dad sends to me in entirely all caps.
David said the thing that got me was the ethics officer agreed it was valid. Could you imagine the lawyer and the ethics officer getting into it?
Oh, my God. So here, let's go through the rest of it because we want to explain exactly what happened here. So the paramedics brought in this unconscious 70-year-old guy with this history of COPD, diabetes, AFib to the emergency department. I'm just paraphrasing.
Super healthy.
So he's a healthy 70-year-old. With also an elevated alcohol level, blood alcohol level. He comes in and the staff of the ICU evaluates him and he gets hypotension. He gets an NIN gap metabolic acidosis with a PHF, drumroll please, 6.81. So this is not compatible with longstanding life, okay? For you, for the muggles, normal pH in a human being is around 7.4, 7.35 to 7.45 depending on the lab. This guy's 6.81, which is acidic or basic?
Basic?
Basically acidic.
Ah, nailed it.
So it's quite acidic. The lower the pH, the more acid.
Gotcha.
So,
but he can just drink alkaline water, so he's good.
No formal training.
What? Gwyneth Paltrow told me that was true.
She did. Yeah. She also has jade vaginas.
See,
in
the
her
thing
egg.
Is like,
I mean, eggs in her vagina.
If your body's not like in balance,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're fucked.
So, this all being said, he's got acid in his blood. He's drinking himself to death. Drinking, that is a verb. And the diabetes, the lung disease, the AFib. So, he's not a well guy. Do not resuscitate. All caps, underline not. Then they go, oh, he's got this tattoo. But because he presented, there's no ID, no family. Social Work's called. By the way, Social Work's been messaging me, Z-Dog, we love you, bro. Where's our love? And I said, I gave you a shout out and it was a good call day, but you know what? We'll do a video for you as soon as we get the budget for it. Which reminds me, by the way, patreon.com/ZDogMD. The people who have been donating have been helping us so much. Thank you for your help and your support. It means the world to us.
Ooh, also we got dope t-shirts up in the store.
Sure.
So if you want to buy a dank t-shirt, hold on, check it out. Me and Logan made these today. The kids call them swagalicious people. They're swagalicious.
Buy one right now.
I'll put the link up for anybody.
Do you guys want to know how this shirt was made? So I told Logan and Tom, I was busy one day and having a bad day. And I said, guys, if you want to help Z-Dog, designed me an album cover for my latest album. I've got 14 tracks I haven't released. It's coming out. It came out today. I shared it on Facebook. The album cover that they designed me was me looking like this and the title Zeezus, which is apparently a Kanye reference, which I did get, and also a reference to Jesus, which makes me profoundly uncomfortable because I don't need a Christian fatwa to add to my other fatwas.
Kanye was referencing Jesus. We're just referencing Kanye. It's not sacrilegious, people.
It's you know what I'm 2 degrees of separation from Jesus. So anyways, these shirts are limited edition. We thought we'd put them out for super fans who really, really, really want to support the show, but also love being edgy AF. That being said, back to being edgy AF.
Wait, so would you get a do not resuscitate tattoo?
Would I?
Yeah. Like, say you have stage 4 cancer of the taint. Would you go ahead and do not resuscitate?
First of all,
you have to put it on the taint, like previously discussed.
Okay, I'm going to say this. The one type of cancer I'm never going to get is taint cancer because I am incredibly good to my taint.
He does a lot of screenings on himself.
I do screenings. I do daily taint screenings. I do my Kegels. I floss my taint with a G-string. There's a lot of care that I give to my taint. So first of all, I take offense that you would think I'd have that kind of cancer. Because as we know, cancer is all our fault. It has nothing to do with our genetics or our environment or anything like that. All right, that being said, would I get a tattoo? Well, let's go through this and I'll tell you what I would do.
Oh, okay? Snap, dude. 20 people already bought that shirt.
What?
You guys are crazy.
No.
There's only like 500 or wait, no, we did 1,000.
Right? We did 1,000.
There's only 1,000 of them. So.
Did you put the shirt up? I'm going to hit like. So
first come, first serve, fool.
You guys better get the Ziza shirt because this thing is, this is a collector's item, man. Look at that. By the way, we did, we picked like the best quality shirt. We wanted it to be dope for people in time for the holidays.
All right, Jamie's smart. Jamie says, get a tat that says, see advanced directive. Not
see,
bad.
It's so ambiguous because you're supposed to do that anyways. But then at least you know there is an advanced directive.
What if you had a tat that was like, yo, I keep a mini advanced directive on my ankle.
Right.
It's an ankle bracelet.
Right.
Bust it open. What? Oh, read it. It's a real legal document.
How about this? I got one better. Please see taint for complete instructions. And then you go to the taint and in micro print.
Okay.
Microfilm.
Is a pulse, the physician order for life-sustaining treatment.
Only Z-Dog is going to do that one, all right, for normal people. Got to carry the document. It's like, but why are we in this moment in healthcare where it's like, your papers, please, sir. Like, we won't even let you die unless you have the proper paperwork.
Well, so here's a question. Did they let this guy die? Because I have a lot to say about this, and I'm sure you do, too. Because,
do you think they did a code on him, or did they do a code?
They did a code on him. So he shows up. They initially decided not to honor the tattoo, because that is the Bob's Burgers pronunciation of tattoo, invoking the principle of not choosing an irreversible path when faced with uncertainty. By the way, that is the longest principle I've ever heard of. Hey, Tom, have you heard of the principle of not choosing an irreversible path when faced with uncertainty? Because it's like the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, except much longer and stupider.
I don't know a lot of those words.
Yeah, I don't either. The decision left us conflicted owing to the patient's extraordinary effort to make his presumed advance directive known, you think? And therefore, an ethics consult was requested. But in the meantime, he's placed on empiric antibiotics, intravenous fluid, and pressors, so life-sustaining treatment. But he wasn't intubated. They treated him with BiPAP, or bilevel positive airway pressure, which, by the way, I never realized BiPAP stood for bilevel, and I've been doing this for years. Does that make me dumb? I may have to add something to my taint directive. So after reviewing the case, the ethics consultants advised us to honor the patient's do not resuscitate DNR tattoo. They suggested that it was the most reasonable. Did you just take a picture of my taint?
No, I was.
I accidentally took a selfie. See,
Logan flipped the camera, and I was seeing if he screwed up the audio.
But if you double tap, it does the selfie mode. I just learned that, y'all. I don't like the new iPhone.
So everybody saw a split second of Logan like this.
Yeah, exactly. All it's gonna do is mess up our YouTube audio, which is dead to me, anyways.
Not bad.
No, you're good, Logan Stewart. YouTube is on my lips like Kung Fu Theater. Hey, what's the deal, Tom Heineberg? We're going to talk about this guy's taint. So here's the thing. So they said, okay, they suggested, the ethics committee, that it was most reasonable to infer that the tattoo expressed an authentic preference than what might be seen, and that what might be seen as caution could also be seen as standing on ceremony, and that the law is sometimes not nimble enough to support patient-centered care and respect for the patient's best interest, you think? A DNR order was then written. Subsequently, social work obtained a copy of his real DNR. the out-of-hospital DNR order that was consistent with the tattoo. The patient's clinical status deteriorated throughout the night. He died without undergoing CPR or advanced airway management, meaning he wasn't intubated. He didn't get CPR or shocks. He did get vasopressors and antibiotics and fluids. So he got some form of resuscitation, but it wasn't the most aggressive form. So the patient's tattoo DNR request produced more confusion than clarity, given concerns about its legality and likely unfounded beliefs that tattoos might represent permanent reminders of regretted decisions, like Tom's tramp stamp that says Ross Perot.
Yeah, but I got a JK under that tramp stamp, so it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Mm-hmm. He modified it with the the JK.
I got a Tinkerbell, because Tinkerbells are classy. Anyway.
I'm going to dab right now. I'm not going to dab. There he is.
Dabbing.
So the patient's, let's see. So Okay. We were relieved to find that the written DNR request concurred with the tattoo. Despite well-known difficulties that patients have in making their end-of-life wishes known, this case neither supports nor opposes the use of tattoos to express end-of-life wishes. Now, there is a case report of a tattoo that said, do not resuscitate, that was actually not indicative of the patient's current preference. So, what you asked me, what would I do when I get a tattoo?
Yeah.
I would fill out, depending on the state, a physician's order for life-sustaining treatment, or PULSED. I would fill out an advanced directive. Most importantly, I would choose a decision maker who wasn't too emotionally close to me, who would carry out my wishes in any situation objectively. And that means I would pick Tom because he wants to see me dead. I would choose Tom and I would have a conversation with Tom. And it would look like this. Tom, here's the thing. You're my decision maker.
Okay.
Because I don't trust my family because they will flog me and keep me alive for too long.
I'm here for you.
Okay.
Okay.
If I get admitted to the hospital for gout, an STD,
right,
or anything severely embarrassing, I want you to tell them to euthanize me. Okay? I don't want it getting out.
Right.
Yeah. I want you to put on the death certificate that I died a man.
Right.
Of manly things, whatever it is, manly stuff, not otherwise specified.
Right.
Now, listen to me carefully. I don't want CPR. I don't want a breathing tube unless the doctors convince you that there's a chance that I'm going to survive and have a meaningful quality of life, which means I can still masturbate.
Okay.
If that's not possible, I want you to either have them pull the plug or not do this stuff to me, or I want you to actively euthanize me when they're not looking. And I want you to do it with ether gas, and I'll give you the stuff, okay?
Okay.
Please don't tell anyone this because that's illegal. However,
I got your back.
Here are my forms. You keep them. Okay. I keep them. Done. I'm going to put your number in my wallet and keep it on
100%. 100%.
Now, if I wake up on a ventilator screaming in agony pain,
true,
and I'm missing all my limbs like the guy in Metallica's One video.
Word up.
I will find you, and I will have you killed because I won't be able to actively kill you because I will be incapacitated.
Okay.
Are you okay with this?
I have heard everything you said, and I will complete your wishes to the best of my knowledge. So anyway, Doc, I think he said he wanted everything done. So just throw whatever you got at him, man.
So you see my point? Choose your healthcare decision maker proxy wisely. It's the most important decision you make. Document stuff, but make sure you choose someone who can act on the fly for your wishes. And so that means someone who's not too emotionally invested in you, who's going to try to keep you alive or kill you, depending on what the angle is, against your wishes. And that's a key thing. And then what we need is electronic health records that share information so that that is available across platforms, Epic, Cerner, McKesson, Athena, whatever it is. And that should be the thing. Then we don't need something dumb like a tattoo that says, do not resuscitate. Because yes, we do change our minds. We ought to be asking our patients all the time what their wishes were. We ought to be updating our own advance directives, and we ought to be having that conversation with our families, our loved ones, and our healthcare proxy so everyone's on the same page. So that is basically what the moral of this do not resuscitate tattoo story is. Is this our thumbnail?
Thumbnail.
Let's do the thumbnail. You just saw the thumbnail, people.
Tap.
Oh, and for podcast people, if you want one of the shirts, zdogmd.myshopify.com is where you can get those.
And there's limited edition.
They're actually selling out kind of fast. Kendra Mason got one. Good job, girl.
Kendra, I can't wait.
Kendra's going to be one of the few, the proud,
listen,
the shirted.
If you're one of the few that get the Aziz's shirt, you need to take a picture of it and share it as a visitor's post or in the comments to this thread or any other thread, and we will honor that by calling you out on the show. Because
Hashtag
Zizus. Hashtag Zizus. That's right. Zizus, take the wheel.
It's the wrong song.
It is, isn't it? So anyways, guys, leave us your comments about DNR tattoos. Do you have one? Do you know someone who has one? Hit share, hit like. The other thing is we want to thank 23andMe for sponsoring this episode and being partners with the show. Again, direct-to-consumer genetic testing is here. It's staying. We need to understand it. We need to try it ourselves if we're interested in learning more about ourselves. But more importantly, to be able to talk to our patients about it. The three of us did it. Mm. We're going to come with a dedicated show about our results and the fact that Logan may be 2-3% Jewish, which means we're going to celebrate both Christmas and Hanukkah up in this. If you haven't seen our latest Metamoji Part 2 video, watch it. It was released on Facebook today. It is funny and also musical. Kids love it. So if you have kids, share it with your kids because they will put it on repeat and they will be singing Herpes, which is delightful. And anyways, Tom, what do you think?
I'm ordering you a shirt because they're all going to be gone. I didn't get you one.
Oh, dude. I want a Zizus shirt. When these shirts are gone, we're screwed. You know what? Then we'll just have to make Zizus the sequel.
I totally forgot to buy you one.
Zizus the second
anyway,
coming.
Dab out.
Dib.